We have our wonderful guest Ndileka, who is a sex and intimacy coach. That is correct, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and she does have a podcast, Lip Service with Ndi. Mm-hmm. So, in your own words, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do, and then I'll tell you why you're here. I mean, you know why you're here, but just the audience.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to pilot your podcast.
Yes, this is the first episode for anyone who's listening.
So I'm a sex and intimacy coach. I'm a sex educator. I'm a sexual health advocate. Mm-hmm. But I help people, individuals, whether you're in a relationship or you're not in a relationship, to kind of like unpack and get to understand your intimacy, mm-hmm. What that means for you, because it means different things for different people. But I also help with challenges in relationships and intimacy challenges. So I basically help people reach their full sexual potential.
Okay, that's amazing. So I got to know about you because I put the word out there, guys, I need a sex and intimacy coach who's available in Joburg, and you were the overwhelmingly popular choice. So clearly you know what you're doing, and clearly people have faith in you.
It's good to hear that.
Let's talk a little bit about your podcast, Lip Service with Ndi. What are you offering? What can people expect when they listen to your podcast?
Yeah, so I just talk about relationship challenges, challenges around sexuality, just different topics around sex, sexual health, and just the dynamics that we have as Black people in the country around sex and sexuality and relationships. For the first season, I'm focusing mainly on the male voice because I find that women are always talking about sex. Mm-hmm. Women are always having sex parties and bridal showers. There's always me who's getting invited to come and have a sex talk. But guys don't do that. And they don't talk about sex. Well, they do talk about sex amongst themselves, but the different genders, particularly for this reason, male and female, are not talking to each other. So I just wanted to hear what men think about certain topics, what they think, what they talk about, what they share with each other, so that we can hear where they are and what they'd like to know, because there's also a lack of information from their side or misinformation from their side. So, yeah, for the first season, I'm literally going around to where the guys are. So I'm at cricket games, I'm at golf. So I want to find them when they are comfortable, you know, in their spaces. And I literally get there and I sit down and have a conversation with them.
That's amazing. So how did you end up getting into what you do? Because I have seen that, yes, women do talk about certain topics around sex.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't think Black people are in the types of conversations enough. And they're not open enough and vulnerable enough with this topic. So how did you get into the space and how did you build your platform?
Yeah. So about 6 years ago, I was sitting in a bridal shower, my friend's bridal shower, and there was a lady selling sex toys. Mm-hmm. She was like, I think in her mid-40s. And she was basically educating us about toys and how they work and what she's selling, etc. But she wasn't captivating us, because I remember we'd, you know, get lost in the conversation and have our own conversations while she was talking. And I remember just saying out of the blue to my friends, I was like, I think I can do this better, you know. At the time, I didn't know what I was talking about because, I mean, I had never thought about selling sex toys at all. And then the following week, I was online looking at the brand she had for toys, and they had like a consultancy type situation where you can sign up to sell those toys. Mm-hmm. So I signed up, and then 2 weeks later I got my kit, and I was like, what am I doing? You know, I'm just like, oh, am I actually doing this? So anyway, the company then trains you on the product, obviously. And then I did a few training, and then you're literally out there running your own business, basically. So you're responsible for marketing yourself and putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And so I started with my friends around. I was like, hey guys, this is what I do at work. I was like, ladies, come to the boardroom. I've got something that I need to show you, you know. So that's how I kind of like started just selling sex toys. However, after my maybe sixth party, I got to realize that yes, sex toys are exciting. Everyone's excited about them, but the questions that come up are not really about toys. Yeah. It's about sex, relationships, our bodies. And these are women asking questions, you know. I've always been expressive and I think curious. So I knew a little bit more, kind of like understood my own body. So when these questions come up for me, I'm thinking, that should be common knowledge. You don't know where the clitoris is. You don't know, like, Do you even understand the anatomy of your vulva, yeah. you know? And then that's where the passion started. I was like, I'm in a good position to disseminate information mm-hmm. and obviously like help people. And that's where the passion started. So I then educated myself, went to school, got certified. But that obviously took some time. And then I checked in the country.
Where is sex school?
It's not in South Africa.
Okay. I'm like, where do you go to get an education?
It's not. And unfortunately, that's the challenge in the country, which is, it's mind boggling. Mm-hmm. Like we have so much high stats around teenage pregnancies, yeah. you know, HIV, but there's no funds or like dedicated schools rather that deals with sexuality and sexual health. Mm. So if you're in the country and you want to be a sexologist or a sex coach, it's either you go via the doctor route or a psychology route and then specialize in sexual health.
Okay.
Or you study overseas and do sexology. Most of the sexologists in the country studied overseas and then come back. However, even if they do come back, they're not recognized as a medical practice. Mm. They don't get a practice number. So then I went and looked overseas, and there's a university that was working with the company that I was selling sex toys for,
yeah.
and they were offering courses, and I literally signed up, and yeah, that's when I started, and I started looking, but there's so much out there in the world that you can go and study the sexual health, sexual wellness, mm. you know, there's the Somatica school that you can train for that deals with relationships and intimacy. So yeah, that's what I did. I was just like, I'm just going to do everything and anything I can just yeah. to certify myself. But I also did a counseling course because I'm dealing with people. And mm-hmm. I was aware that I might, you know, meet people who have experienced trauma, and I'd have to be able to, you know, deal with that. However, if I do come across people that I'm unable to help, mm-hmm. Like offer sex therapy in the form of medication or, you know, further counseling or psychology, that I realize that they need counseling, mm-hmm. then I refer them to psychologist or a sexology or sex therapist.
Okay, yeah. So I have brought you here because, you know, every single week I obviously do the conversations on Mondays.
Yes.
and most of the time I try to center them around sex yeah. and relationships yeah. just because everybody deals through the same thing.
All like, the time.
Yeah. We have different versions of it, but the topics everyone can relate yeah. to. So I have gotten a whole lot of questions, you know, specifically around the female orgasm, around demystifying sex toys and masturbation. And I just felt like it was super important to get someone who's an expert on the topic, because I can speak from my experiences yes. with trying to experiment
yes.
with, you know, my own journey in masturbation and sex toys and all the rest. But I felt like it was super important to get someone who's knows it as an expert and from a professional level. So I do have a couple of questions,
okay.
If you'll bear with us, from my followers okay. and from myself,
mm-hmm.
just on the topic of female orgasms,
yeah.
female
pleasure,
and especially around masturbation,
yeah.
because I think, you know, sex is sex, and we'll probably actually have you here more than once. I think there's a lot. You can
there
see
is,
all the questions.
There is a lot.
There's way too
and
much.
By the way, it's Masturbation Month. May is Masturbation Month. So
look at God.
Stars aligned.
Look at God. Okay, so I wanted to ask you the first question. Mm-hmm. Says, my husband doesn't want to use sex toys. He says, why would I use rubber while he is the real thing? Can you please help?
Okay. So I think the biggest challenge mm-hmm. is obviously introducing things into your bedroom.
Yeah.
It's not just sex toys, but like other things that you guys do in the bedroom. So sex toys tend to be a bit of extreme if you guys are not exploring, if your character in the bedroom is not exploring.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest in that case to rather look for toys that are not shaped like penises.
Okay.
Because then men are intimidated by another penis. They don't want to see yeah. another penis in the bedroom, right? So rather
in that
focus,
case, would you say it's better to get like a vibrator, or you mean something
yes,
completely?
Yes, a vibrator, preferably like a clitoral stimulator
mm-hmm.
that he can then use on you if you want to use it with him. But alternatively, if you feel as, you know, a woman, you feel like, you know, this is something that I want to explore, you mm-hmm. can explore it. You don't need permission, whether yeah. from your husband or your boyfriend, to masturbate. or give yourself pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the challenge that, you know, women have around masturbation and toys and all. It's always seeking validation from men to say, can I use this? Is he going to think I'm a freak? Am I weird?
But I suppose in that case, where would she put it? If then it seems like she's doing something behind her husband's back, or do you mean this is something that, if you know, where does the toy live, for instance, if she does want to explore that?
In the house, and it's not a secret. It shouldn't be a secret. It should be, okay, you are not comfortable with us using a penis-shaped vibrator or dildo, but I would like to try and use it for when I masturbate. Mm-hmm. And it's informing him and not asking for permission. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. Okay. So, now, my life changed last week. Mm-hmm. I got this toy. I don't want to give a brand name because, you know, people ain't pay me yet. But basically, it uses air pulse technology to stimulate the clitoris. I've never in my life ever had a feeling like that ever before. So now someone's asking about the Rose vibrator, and I think that's the same air pulse technology. Can that kind of toy reduce your sensitivity?
Okay. No. Simply because, for one, you don't use it the whole day for 24 hours. You know,
even if you get lost in it for a while. But
it's not 24. I've never heard anyone masturbate for 24 hours. It's 3 hours. I've heard 3 hours.
3 hours seems long too.
Yeah, it is long. But I've heard like women masturbate for 3 hours. No, it does not. Simply because you use it for a short period of time. And if you use that kind of toy, which I've used as well, so I understand what you're talking about. You get an orgasm very quickly, right?
And very deeply.
Very
Anyone here is listening, please get this new air pulse technology type of toy. It'll change your life.
Yeah, very deeply, very quickly. So even after the orgasm happens, you feel a little bit sensitive. Mm-hmm. So you take like a break in between if you want to I was dedicating 15 minutes to myself or 30 minutes to myself. So no, vibrators in general don't desensitize you. Mm. They don't take away anything from the nerve endings. If anything, the more orgasms you have, the better they get.
Yeah. That's true. Do you think some of the theories behind women and sexuality is just from a place of like misogyny and control? Because sometimes I feel like the theories of having sex with multiple partners, leaving you loose or getting sensitive is just a way of saying
control.
Of control.
Behave.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole purity, keep yourself pure for me, or be chosen by a certain man who's going to marry you. Because men have a problem if we had several partners.
Yeah.
But
and
it's
yet
weird.
They don't want to prude at the same time.
Exactly. But it's weird because they go around and they sleep with a lot of partners, right? So it is a societal conditioning and control over women's bodies and your behavior. It is. There's no such thing as having a loose vagina.
Oh,
there
please.
isn't.
I say that all the time. I'm just I can't believe we're at the point in time when people can be 30 something and still believe that.
But you know where that concept comes from?
No.
So I always teach men when I'm having like groups of men and I'm talking about sex. So just a day to day when people have sex, men feel like when you're tight and you're dry, then that means that's the norm.
That sounds hella rapey.
Yeah, but I don't blame them. Women have not been in a position where they even understand their arousal.
Yeah.
Nah? So when you're aroused properly, you get lubricated, like that feeling of wet. So that's when men would say you're loose because you're too wet. I can't even feel
no
you.
Friction.
But the friction means you're not lubricated, you're not aroused, you're dry.
Yeah, you're doing a bad job. Okay, so there's a couple of questions here about the orgasm. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of women who don't know that they've had one or are asking, what does it feel like? And someone, I don't know if I want to lump these two together, but it says, is it normal to not feel any pleasure from sex? I've never enjoyed it. Or should I go see a doctor about it? I think I want to separate those. So can we do that one
they
first?
Are separate, yeah. The last one.
Yeah. Is it normal to not feel any pleasure from having sex? I've never enjoyed it. Or should I go see a doctor about it?
So, I mean, I would suggest to see a doctor. Mm-hmm. However, we only limit sex to penetration. Mm. There are people who don't enjoy penetration at all. And there could be a number of reasons. One, the friction thing we've spoken about. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't get the chance to get fully aroused. Therefore, they don't enjoy it. It becomes painful. You know, there's a friction that happens if you're dry or you dry up during sex. And two, they just don't enjoy it. But also, before even going to the doctor, explore other ways to experience pleasure, you know, orally, using your hands, anal sex, or using toys. Because for some people, penetration is
not really a thing.
I've
heard that. I mean, shame.
And there's nothing wrong. Yeah. It's absolutely normal.
Yeah.
Absolutely normal.
So, yeah, suggestion is to go see a doctor. Because also, I don't think you can diagnose over
No, you can't. And that's why I was saying try other ways first and see if you can experience some form of pleasure. But if nothing happens, even orally or using toys, then I would suggest going to the doctor because there could be a sexual dysfunction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now... Yeah, I suppose the other one was, how does one know if they've had an orgasm? There are quite a few women here who seem to not know whether they've experienced that. Mm-hmm. What are the signs to look for, or how do you explain what a female orgasm feels like?
Yeah, so over 80% of women do not experience or get an orgasm through penetration. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Like a lot of women say, okay, cool, I've seen what I'm supposed to react to. You know, in a certain way when I'm, you know, having penetrative sex, therefore they end up faking it because it's like, okay, I've seen a woman scream. Am I supposed to scream, moan, whatever? They're not feeling anything outside of the, you know, penetration feels nice, but, you know, if it doesn't give you an orgasm, then, you know, it's not like potentially your highest form of pleasure. So an orgasm feels different for everyone. However, I would say for you to know for sure, it comes from your pelvic area. That's where the orgasm will then build from. So if you look out for signs of your pelvic area pulsing, you know, it feels as if there's an eruption coming from that place. An uncontrollable eruption. Your body tenses up almost, kind of like fighting that feeling. And that's why maybe some women would, you know, clench or curl their toes or whatever during that moment. But potentially some people at the end of a sexual experience feel like there's something that was coming, like it feels, it's still from the pelvic area, it feels like something was coming but it didn't arrive. So that's when you know, I didn't have an orgasm. But for you to know for sure, masturbation is the only way. Women need to give themselves a chance to experience their own bodies, get to know their own bodies, how they work. We give like our partners the responsibility of our orgasms, and we shouldn't.
I also think, like, when you have an orgasm, you will know.
You will definitely know.
You will know.
Yeah.
It's not going to come and be a surprise, and be small.
Okay,
so now we're going into the topic of squirting. I've got quite a few questions on that. First of all, is squirting the same as urination? Let me separate all these questions. Is squirting basically just uncontrollable peeing during an orgasm, or is it something different?
So it's something different. Okay. The gland, the liquid, however, comes from the gland in the bladder. So that's why it would come out of the urethra. You will get a sensation as if you're peeing. However, sometimes you don't even feel that you're squirting, and it doesn't always happen in a gushing manner like we see in porn videos, right? So it does come from the bladder, and you would essentially get to orgasm if you stimulate the clitoris from the inside and the outside.
Now somebody's asking, and this is a gentleman, I think, he's saying, how do I make her squirt multiple times? Are toys necessary? Is squirting even necessary?
Squirting is not a thing. It's not necessary. The whole culture of squirting comes from porn. When you squirt, doesn't necessarily mean you're having an orgasm. You can squirt without even knowing. Like I said, for some people, they just, after sex, they see a puddle of water and they've squirted, but it doesn't feel like anything. It's ejaculation. Just like, you know, the different fluids you would get out of from the vagina during penetration, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. So is there tips, because this person clearly does want to make his partner squirt. So are there any tips anyway? And is it just something that happens with toys?
It's not something that happens with toys. There is tradition in, I forgot the country, it's called Kunyaza.
Okay.
Men are taught to make women squirt by rubbing their penises just at the tip of, just underneath the clitoris, and from the clitoris.
You need to find this country, because I need to find these men.
Right. So it's a practice that, you know, all men go through. And yeah, so they rub the penis, they massage the clitoris and the opening of the vagina, because that's where the sensitive area of the vagina is, by the opening. And they rub that area until the woman eventually squirts. So yes, toys can help. However, I think around squirting, we shouldn't put a lot of pressure on our bodies to do that, because it's just a reaction that your body does from stimulation. Some people can squirt, some people can't. So you can try it out, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean you as a man, you failed, or you don't know what you're doing.
Or the person's not orgasm.
Exactly, or the person, or there's something wrong with the person. Yeah.
I did also, I mean, I thought it wasn't my spillion. I was like, that's cool. I've had deep, great orgasms in life, and like, I've never squirted.
Yeah.
But like I said, this toy changed a lot of things for me. So that was the first for me. I thought, I was like, okay, it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
Okay. So someone's also asking within the same sort of topic. I'm 27 and I've never experienced an orgasm. Is there something wrong with me?
My next question would be, have you masturbated, if I was sitting next to the person?
Okay.
So if you have masturbated and you've never orgasmed, so maybe you're doing it well, there's no right or wrong way, but you're probably not exploring your body the way you should.
Yeah.
So there is.
Do you have any tips actually for how to masturbate if someone's literally in the situation for the first time?
Yeah. So the biggest challenge around masturbation for women is their minds. So we are like, we are, you know, when you read an erotic book, we like the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are like the story and the scenarios. So I always tell women, create the scenario for yourself. Cause if you used to masturbate, you can literally say, okay, I feel, you know, horny. I'm going to masturbate, and you just go right into it. But if you haven't, create the scenario for yourself, like take a bath, get yourself to relax, to get out of your mind, wear the lingerie for yourself, you know, look at.
So basically like romance yourself.
Yeah. I always say make love to yourself, you know, just to get yourself in the mood and the right mood as well. Lube is important. Have lube, you know, moisturize your body, feel nice, feel good, put music on, candles on, whatever works for you, right? And then what you can do is use your hands. Like, don't go for the toys first. You don't need to, you know. Use your fingers. Try motions of stimulating your clitoris up and down. And another tip is, don't just focus on just the tip of the clitoris, because the clitoris goes all the way down inside. It's like legs, goes all the way down inside to where the opening of the vagina is. So stimulate the whole vulva, you know, on the labia, and avoid direct stimulation. Stimulate on the sides of the clitoris, either circular motions up and down, and see what feels good for you. Fast, slow, change the rhythms. If you want to insert fingers, you can do that. But basically, just try different sensations in different ways. Other people use pillows. Most women don't even use anything. They literally squeeze their legs together. That way, it presses against the legs press against the clitoris, and they're able to have an orgasm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. let's see. Okay, this is a good one. It says, sex is not an enjoyable experience. I'm struggling with how to relax and be in the moment. Please help.
Yes. So our biggest sex organ is our mind. So if you're stressed, if you're thinking a lot, if you're feeling depressed, you're going to struggle to get in the mood. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of couples or married people would be like, oh, we haven't had sex in a long time, because there's so many things going on and they yeah. don't, you know, give themselves time to kind of like be in the moment. So I'd say just get in the routine of kind of like when you get home and you give yourself like 5 minutes of silence, mm-hmm. just to like quieten your mind or just like observe your thoughts. That gives you a, you know, time to be mindful and be in the moment. There's so much going on. We're always on our phones. We're always, you know, taking in information, even though we're not aware that we are. So our minds are always racing all the time. A glass of wine helps you, mm-hmm. red wine helps you relax. Have some dark chocolates, you know. It stimulates, you know, your libido okay. and kind of gets you in the mood, kind of like relaxed and, you know, just to help yourself along.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so now somebody's saying, okay, and I don't know if this is specific to them or whatever, but what is the best way to introduce toys to a Zulu man without intimidating or emasculating him? So I want to take the Zulu out of it because I don't yeah. think it's tribe specific. Yeah. But I know you said, you know, there's a thing of you can actually have toys by yourself and masturbate alone. But what is the best way to introduce toys in a heterosexual situation? Yeah. Without intimidating yeah. Your partner.
Yeah. The best way is to talk about it first. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't talk about things that are sex related in relationships. We only talk about sex when we're about to have sex.
Yeah.
We don't even debrief. We don't even give feedback even afterwards, right? So we need to get into the habit of talking about sex. Even when sex is not happening, I always tell couples, talk about sex when you're watching a movie, when you're out on a date and it's like the mood is happy and, yeah. you know, you're just relaxed. So the best way is to ask your partner, what do you think about sex toys? And you hear them out. And then you then communicate that you would like to, you know, introduce a sex toy into the bedroom and you tell them why, you know, so that they understand where you're coming from, mm-hmm. right? And if it's a staunch no, kind of like, okay, cool, can we look at like options before you even like shut it down? Let's look at options and ideas together. Maybe we will find something that is comfortable for us.
Yeah.
Remember, people, when they think about sex toys, they think about dildos mm-hmm. and, you know, penis-shaped vibrators. And there's so many options. There's so many different options out there, you know. Yeah. That's one way to approach it. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just stick a little bit on this topic, but yeah. what are some of the most non-intimidating toys, and not for a couple, but just for somebody who seems to be a masturbating beginner, if yeah. you will, what are some of the toys that they can enter into this kind of world with?
So if you search clitoral stimulating toys, mm-hmm. You'll have different shapes. There's like bullets. There's the one you were speaking about. Yeah. You know, there's ones that are shaped like wands. So there's different kinds mm-hmm. that not necessarily toys you insert inside the vagina, but that can stimulate the whole vulva.
Yeah.
So that's one way to start. And then if you then want to go a little further, there are toys that are specifically made for G-spot stimulating, which is in the area inside mm-hmm. at the top of the vagina. So you can then look at those, because then it's those toys that will stimulate the clitoris and the G-spot at the same time. I'm sure you've seen the ones with the rabbit ears.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily shaped like penises, mm-hmm. but it's like a roundish, kind of like wand looking. Those are also not intimidating.
Yeah.
Butt plugs are also, you know, ones to look at. You can literally insert a butt plug.
Mm-hmm.
And then use your fingers to masturbate. So there's different ones, not necessarily looking at the shape of the penis. There's so many. Yeah.
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 Okay. So now this person says, you know, they use porn as, you know, part of the stimulation yeah. for masturbation. But how do you know when you've become a porn addict and not just somebody who enjoys porn now and again?
Okay. So using porn, there's nothing wrong with using mm-hmm. porn. You can use it all the time if you wish to. Porn is only an addiction if it stops you from either having sex with your partner. You don't want to have sex with your partner, but you want to watch porn and masturbate all the time. It disrupts your normal daily routine. Yeah. That's all you're thinking about, watching porn and masturbating. And also, like, you don't go out to be with your friends, literally if it disrupts your normal routine, life routine, work, that's when it's a problem. But normally it's not, because most times people just, you know, watch it just to inspire their imagination, and then they look away and then finish themselves off.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to, you know, kind of move into communication and sex, because there was also kind of a few questions that came up. So
yep.
This is not the nicest way I would ask this question, but it is not from me.
Okay.
How do I tell my partner that he sucks at foreplay without hurting his feelings? Yeah. I'm glad she's asking first so we can give a nicer answer. But yeah.
But that's also a vague question. What does you suck mean?
I don't know. Maybe that they don't get turned on, or that they're not, maybe they don't even do it. This is a broad question.
Yeah, it is a broad question. But I would say, especially for her, because mm-hmm. She clearly knows what feels good. She must teach him, mm-hmm. guide him through it, you know, tell him what feels good, tell him how to touch. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes, you know, when you guiding someone, it might not feel the way you do it when you do it with yourself, but give your partner a chance to kind of like take the journey to learn your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this one also is about communication, I suppose, but she has had two kids, mm-hmm. and she says, how do we revive our sex life? Two kids and 10 years later. I know in a lot of situations and relationships, the longer you've been together, mm-hmm. sometimes it can be difficult to then have that chat, because if you haven't introduced it earlier on, and things have changed, you know, there's kids or lifestyles changes. How does one then say to a partner of a long time, let's get the spark back? Mm. Or how does one get the spark back?
So if the couple is not used to talking about sex, mm-hmm. is not, so normally what happens during pregnancy is couples just don't have sex.
Yeah.
You know, the lady's like, I'm pregnant, I don't feel like it. And that's that, right? And that's where a lot of couples lose the intimacy, mm. and kind of like life goes on, and you have the kid, and the woman is solely focused on the child, mm. and that's it. So what I always advise couples, even before you even have marriage, don't stop dating.
Yeah.
Don't stop making time for each other. Don't stop scheduling sex. Is a thing. It's a thing, you know, because life happens.
Take the spontaneity out of it.
It doesn't, because you're intentional about it. Mm-hmm. Even if you say Friday night is our night to explore, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have sex. You might end up having oral sex or just cuddling on the couch. Because mm-hmm. also another thing is, we focus so much on penetrative sex, we forget there's other ways to create the intimacy in the relationship. Cuddling, holding hands, you know, doing things that you both enjoy, create space for the intimacy to grow and for you guys to get, to stay connected.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the sex part, you're already, you know, feeding off or nourishing other areas of your life, that sex becomes so easy. So don't stop dating. But if you find yourself in a situation where it's 10 years later, like she's saying, I don't know what they've tried, because also that's a broad question. So if I were sitting next to them, I'd be asking questions just to kind of like understand how their relationship is and stuff.
And this is why it's so important, guys, to visit a certified sex and intimacy coach.
There's no one trick pony or one trick, you know, that will work for everyone. Mm. So there's different ways and different, you know, suggestions and solutions one can give to such a situation.
Okay. Now I want to speak a little bit about the problems that people have, I suppose, if you call it that. But someone says, what causes the burning sensation when sperm touches my vagina? It takes me days to recover. Can you be allergic to sperm?
I suppose nothing is impossible, mm-hmm. you know, as to why, obviously that would then be like a medical situation. But in that case, sperm does throw off the pH balance inside the vagina. So it could be that, and maybe after having sex, then the person develops a yeast infection, mm-hmm. or a thrush. It could be a combination of, you know, not enough lubrication during sex, and therefore the friction. Therefore, when you have a yeast infection, your discharge obviously changes, mm-hmm. and you would then have the burning sensation combined with the thrush. So again, you know, it's a vague question. But if I were sitting next to you, I'd be asking questions just to understand, like, you know, what you actually mean by burning sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this one, I don't even know if I can pronounce, but it says, can she please touch on vaginismus?
Okay.
Causes physically and psychologically, also treatment, etc.
Okay, vaginismus is basically when penetration is impossible to happen inside the vagina, or there's a discomfort when a penis enters the vagina. This can be caused by, again, like she's mentioning, psychological trauma, maybe from sexual assault when you're younger, and your body literally at the feeling of something going inside, the vagina tenses up. Mm-hmm. So it's basically your muscles tensing up, preventing penetration to happen or causing pain. However, endometriosis can also cause, can give a result to vaginismus. Mm-hmm. Treatment is possible, but it's a slow, gradual treatment. And we use something called dilators. Mm-hmm. And it's literally, different sized objects that we insert. We reintroduce. It's like muscle memory. Yes,
okay.
Muscle memory for the vagina. So we'll start with a small one, and it's literally a practice of inserting, keeping it in there, you know, getting your body to relax and kind of getting used to the feeling of insertion, and then moving on to the bigger sizes until you, you know, gradually feel comfortable with penetration.
Yeah. Okay, so now someone said, how can I only come when I masturbate and not when I sleep with someone? Is there something wrong with me?
There's nothing wrong with you. I mentioned earlier, most women don't experience an orgasm through penetrative sex. Mm-hmm. So what you can do for yourself is, during penetration, incorporate clitoral stimulation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, there are actually so many questions. I don't even know how long I can keep you here. I actually do believe I need to have you here again, because we're not going to get to all of these.
Yeah.
But someone wants to know if there is a difference between coming and an orgasm.
That's just like slang. Yeah, it's a lingo thing.
Yeah. That's short and concise. Okay, so are there any positions that heighten the risk of a UTI?
No. UTI is caused by when the bacteria goes up the urethra. Mm-hmm. So it's best to pee before and after sex.
Mm-hmm.
After sex all the time, even when you're masturbating, just to clear the tract of, you know, any bacteria, maybe from your hands or from your toys. But also make sure that, you know, your hands are clean before masturbating. The toys are clean. You wash your toys all the time. So no positions can give you UTI. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just important to pee after sex. Okay, so now this other person says, I cannot orgasm via physical touch and it annoys me, but I think you touched on it. It's all about the mind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can PCOS affect sexual pleasure? I haven't enjoyed sex since I started living with it.
It can. But again, depending on what kind of like treatment you're on, or, you know, what you're doing about it. Again, it's gradually, you know, getting your body used to pleasure. And again, guys, it goes back to masturbation. You know, don't rely on just penetrative sex to feel pleasure or to experience pleasure. And also the whole having sex for an orgasm steals away from the experience. You know,
I actually touched on this the other day. I was like, why do people think about just the finish line? Because the journey can be so great even without an orgasm.
Exactly. So if we focus on the experience, it makes us more mindful and focusing on what is happening at the time. So a lot of people, like the previous question was, how do I remain mindful? Mm. It's because we're always in our heads. We're thinking of our bodies. Oh, I don't look great. I don't look sexy. Is he enjoying himself? You know, you're always thinking a lot, and you're not in the moment, and it takes away from the experience. So enjoy the experience. Mm. You know, it's nice touching and feeling somebody, you know, kissing someone. Just enjoy that and allow your body to do the rest.
Okay. Yeah. And now this is kind of in the same, you know, circle, but two of the people that have contributed have asked about increasing libido. So one says, I have absolutely zero sexual desire and it's frustrating.
Uh-huh.
And the other one says, how can I increase my libido, especially after having a baby? So basically just about increasing libido.
So one thing to note, our libido will fluctuate throughout our lives because of many different factors, right? From the contraceptives that we take as women, to stress being the biggest thing, to unhappiness in the relationship, to your diet, drinking a lot, smoking, you know, there's other factors that can affect your libido. And basically libido is your desire for sex. So increased sexual desire is okay. You know, just ride the wave. You know, ride the wave, because at some point it will go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. And then the other question, how do I help myself along?
Yeah.
Right?
How do I increase my libido? I don't feel any sexual desire.
So there's general things that you can do. However, if you're on a hormonal contraceptive, it tends to get like hard. So you might have to do like a few things at the same time. But exercise is one thing that can increase, you know, your libido. Doesn't have to be an intense 30-minute walk 3 times a week. You can do that. I use a supplement called maca powder. Mm-hmm. You can get it at Dis-Chem. I'm advertising.
Just come run us our check, please.
You can get it at health shops. Basically, you can take that as a supplement every morning with your smoothie or cereal. That helps. That is a libido booster. Okay. It can be used by everyone. Food, your diet, obviously. Glass of wine. Rima mentioned glass of wine, not the whole bottle, ladies. One glass of wine helps you relax. Dark chocolate. When I say dark chocolate as well, I am not saying the whole slab. Just to get your your hormones, the good feel hormones going. And also masturbating regularly is good for your genitals and the libido, because the more blood flow you have to your genitals, the better.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I'm going to end with, because I really am not going to get through all of them.
It's a lot.
In terms of introducing different things to your relationship. So let's talk kinks, group dynamics, threesomes, that kind of thing. How can one speak to their partners about introducing those type of things into their relationship?
Yeah. It's important first to understand why you want to explore. So if you're the one interested in kink, understand why. Don't just start a conversation. It's like, it looks cool. I mean, that's not, you know. So obviously you are going to get it. No, you know, understand why you are interested in a certain thing, kinks, whether it's BDSM or fetishes or threesomes or whatever. And there's different ways to approach it. And again, it goes back to communication. You put it on the table first, have a discussion about it with your partner, and then hear what they think about it. And, you know, would they consider it if it's something that you would like to, you know, do. And again, you might get annoyed first, but people change their minds. That's the amazing thing with sexuality. It's fluid. You change your mind. What you like today, you might not like tomorrow. So have an open mind for that you get a no today, but maybe 3 months later he might be the one saying, hey,
let's do it.
Remember that thing, you know, because he's given himself probably time to think about it. But another myth that we have in relationships is we are not sexually compatible with our partners. And that obviously creates challenges like these, where you want to try something and your partner's like, actually, no, I'm a prude. That's it. I'm comfortable with what I know and how I do it. I don't want to do anything else. But while you, on the other hand, are very, like, you know, explorative, and you like understanding and pushing limits to your sexuality. So communication is important, and figuring out if someone is sexually compatible with you. And
if they're not, do you advocate for breaking up? Do you advocate, like, what must happen? Because if someone does bring up this kink, and it's something they've always wanted, and it's something they always want to explore, but then it's just a flat no from now until
forever. then you decide what's important for you. Because at the end of the day, if you suppress something you feel strongly about, you're going to get miserable, and it's going to make you unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, sex is so important. Sex is so important in relationships. It should be right up there with, you know, does he have a good job and whatnot, you know, all the things that we look at. So deciding when to leave or not, it's up to you, because then you need to decide, is this relationship important for me or is exploring sexually important for me? So it's, I can't say leave, you know, it's up to the individual. But also, if you find that you're not sexually compatible, you know, I think there's ways to, again, it goes back to communication, ways you can kind of like introduce your partner to like small things, like just listening to this conversation that we're having together, you know. I've found that a lot of people would, especially men who follow me, would say, hey, I told my wife to follow you. You know, or ask me questions and be like, no, this is about my wife. I'm going to show her your response. And then that sparks the conversation. If you're not brave enough to say, hey, this is what I want to do, or my page has a lot of things. So you can even show someone like, hey, what do you think about this? Kind of, you know, oh, I saw something on Lesego's page or Ndi's page, you know, what do you think about? Those are conversation starters if you don't feel brave enough to. I always suggest to determine sexual compatibility in the beginning of the relationship.
Are you saying fuck on the first date or?
No, I'm not saying fuck, but just to kind of like determine.
Or conversations.
Yeah, have a conversation and kind of find out if this person's open.
Okay.
I think that's the word. If the person's open. Open to what doesn't matter, mm-hmm. but are they open to learning and, you know,
trying.
Yeah. You know, that's because that's important. If you're that kind of person, you need that kind of person to kind of be with. But if the person's like, kind of like, no, this is not what I want to do, then right then and there you can decide, okay, cool. They tick all the boxes, but
except this,
yeah, this
I
one.
Had that last year. I actually had a situation where I was going on a couple of dates and I thought this person was just amazing, but sexually they were just not open. It was like, this is how it's going to be missionary for the rest of your life. Yeah. And I was like, actually, it's way too important to me to even consider exploring this further. Let's just leave it.
Yeah.
How do you into relationships, because you are a sexpert, if you will. I mean, I don't know, you know, how, if you are in a relationship, if you're not, whatever, but do people ever get intimidated by you and what you do, and does it ever come up as a point of conflict?
It comes up all the time. So people are intimidated, but people are curious as well. So it's a bit difficult for me because I never know if it's genuine.
Yeah.
Because I'm sexualized.
Yes, yeah.
I'm sexualized. I'm a freak. Everything I talk about and write about, I do, right? And people forget, like, you might work at McDonald's, but you don't eat McDonald's all the time. So it's kind of like the same, you know? Yes, I know a lot. Because I read and I, you know, study and I, whatever. But I have my own sexual kind of like characteristics and I'm comfortable with that.
And just because you talk about it doesn't mean you do it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But also what this has done for me, it's given me an opportunity to kind of like understand myself even further because I was just like, oh, okay. Because I'm learning every day, right? So relationships are tricky for me. Very tricky. I don't like talking about my relationship status because...
No, don't worry, no one asking.
Because, yeah, I've got people in my DMs.
Hello. So hidden D in the DMs, the traffic goes down.
So challenging.
Okay,
yeah.
So speaking of your DMs, where can people send these DMs? What is your... social media handle.
So I'm on social media, Instagram, NDI_HOT_NE.
Ndi Hot. I love it.
And yeah, you can reach me. Obviously, I only answer high level questions because, I mean, you know, but if you want to consult as well, you can consult privately.
Actually, do you do that? You know, if someone has an expertise in something and someone's coming into your DMs asking questions, are you like, book an appointment or?
No, so the core of why I started this was to share information. So I do maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot in this, but I do answer all the DMs I do. Everyone knows who's in my DMs. I do answer DMs. But again, just some questions are literally broad. So I'll answer in a broad way as well. And then I would then say, if you want to, you know, get more specific solutions or help, then you can book. Because again, you know, I would then need to ask you questions to kind of understand you as a person and how you live and how you do things and how your mind works for me to actually, okay, cool, try this, do this and whatnot. Like I said, there's no one blanket approach to the challenges that we all face. We are all different. Our sexual needs are different. What we're interested in is different and our preferences are different. So, yeah.
All right, so don't forget to don't forget to follow Ndi Hot, ne, on Instagram and go to her podcast Lip Service with Ndi.
Yes.
Especially this season where she's talking mostly to the guys, so go and listen. Yes, so thank you very much, Ndi Leka, our certified sex and intimacy coach. I don't think this is going to be our last conversation. There truly is so much more I'd like to explore.
True.
So many more questions that we didn't get to. So hopefully when you're available again, we'll have time to chat again in the podcast.
Thank you for having me, and I'll definitely make time.
Sure. So that was Ndi Leka, Ndi Hot, sex and intimacy coach. Thank you so much for listening. This is our first episode. Thank you for being our first guest. It's a high five.
High
it was
five.
Very hard across the table. Yes. So stay tuned for the rest of the season. This has been Convos and Cocktails with Lesego Tlhabi. Good night.